Today I'm going to talk to you about, and I apologize for the coughing, that will happen, it just will. I'm going to talk to you today about the storms of life. And it's a storm of life, it's like having a storm in your life, that's an expression for things going absolutely nuts, absolutely haywire. And we all have them, each and every single one of us. If you're not in the middle of one right now, you're just in between them. We also call them rough patches or dry spells, maybe even hard seasons. I'm going to give you an example of a storm of life I went through a little while ago. So about 5 or 6 years ago, the recession hit, and I was working as a digital pressman. So I was working on very cool things, printing very cool things. And I was a low man on totem pole, so I got laid off. And in that season, I couldn't find work. Alicia was in school. And very quickly, we had no food and we had no money. We looked at our bank account, 26 cents. Great, that's awesome. We go through our ashtrays in our cars for all the change. And then we go to Save-On. And we use all our Save-On points and all this bag of change to pay for like burgers, like for hamburger, for milk, for potatoes. And we apologize to the guy. Big thing of change. But in that season, when we had nothing, in the mail, we receive a check from nowhere. We have people knocking on our doors. They have no idea, but they got together, this big group of ladies, and they started putting together like frozen meals in a bag. And they're like, oh, we have lots. Let's give some away. So they showed up with like 2 weeks' worth of meals for Alicia and I. And we're sitting there absolutely stunned. All this hard stuff is happening. But yet, God takes care of us. Talking about the storms of life. And when you think about storms in the Bible, see a little picture there, you might think about Matthew chapter 8. Then Jesus got into the boat and started to cross the lake with his disciples. Suddenly, a fierce storm struck the lake with waves breaking into the boat, but Jesus was sleeping. The disciples went and woke him up, shouting, Lord, save us, we're going to drown. Jesus responded, why are you afraid? You have so little faith. Then he got up and rebuked the wind and waves, and suddenly there was a great calm. The disciples were amazed. Who is this man? They asked. Even the wind and the waves obey him. Now these disciples, the disciples following Jesus, they were not slackers when it came to boats and sailing. At least 7 of the disciples were either fishermen or had some skill working on the boats. You read about this in John 21. This is right after Jesus dies, and in between then. Later, Jesus appeared among the disciples beside the Sea of Galilee, and this is how it happened. Several of the disciples were there. Simon Peter, Thomas, nicknamed the Twin, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and 2 other disciples. Simon Peter said, I'm going fishing. We'll come too. So they went out in the boat, and they caught nothing all night. At dawn, Jesus was standing on the beach, but the disciples couldn't see who he was. He called out, fellows, have you caught any fish? No, they replied. And they said, throw your net on the right-hand side of the boat, and you'll get some. So they did. And they couldn't haul in the net because there were so many fish in it. 7 guys. And this is a very fun story. And just as a little aside. 7 guys can lift a lot of things. You get 7 guys together. And these guys were used to hard labor. You get 7 guys together. They can lift a truck. They can flip a truck on its side. That's a lot of fish. These guys were professionals. And yet, they were frightened of this storm. The professionals in this boat were so frightened that they were going to drown. And Jesus wakes up, calms the storm with a word, which is something way beyond what the disciples were familiar with. The disciples had seen all kinds of crazy things. Jesus speaking and people are healed. Food multiplied. But nothing in their experience, because they were professionals. They knew how the Sea of Galilee was, and it actually still is today. You go there today, because of the terrain and the mountains and the hills around it, there are some severe storms that just, boom, squalls that just come right in there. These guys knew what to do on the water. They knew how waves worked. They knew how, like, everything worked about the water. And yet, Jesus comes, speaks, and calm. They had confidence in their knowledge, in their skills, to handle whatever would happen. They've had storms before. They've got through storms before. They knew what to do. But something came that was beyond the scope of their experience and beyond their abilities to fight. They needed to turn to Jesus. I'm going to tell you another story about a storm. This one's in Matthew 14. Immediately after this being the feeding of the 5,000. So immediately after this, Jesus insisted that his disciples get back into the boat and cross to the other side of the lake while he sent the people home. After sending them home, he went up into the hills by himself to pray. Night fell while he was there alone. Meanwhile, the disciples were in trouble far away from land, for a strong wind had arisen, and they were fighting heavy waves. About 3 o'clock in the morning, Jesus came toward them walking on the water. When the disciples saw him walking on the water, they were terrified. In their fear, they cried out, "It's a ghost." But Jesus spoke to them at once. "Don't be afraid," he said. "Take courage. I'm here." Then Peter called to him, "Lord, if it's really you, tell me to come to you walking on the water." "Yes, come," Jesus said. So Peter went over to the side of the boat and walked on the water towards Jesus. But when he saw the strong wind and the waves, he was terrified and began to sink. "Save me, Lord," he shouted. Jesus immediately reached out and grabbed him. "You have so little faith," Jesus said. "Why do you doubt me?" When they climbed back into the boat, the wind stopped, and then the disciples worshiped him. "You really are the Son of God," they exclaimed. The disciples have been battling this storm for at least 6 hours. And they were in trouble. They were fighting the waves. They were bailing out the bottom of the boat. But it wasn't until they saw Jesus walking on the water that they were truly terrified. These men grew up reading the Torah, the Jewish, like essentially the Old Testament. And there are no stories in the Torah of men being able to walk on water. Even the Israelites crossed on dry land when God parted the Red Sea. So it's no wonder that they thought they saw something not of this world. Now, keep in mind, Matthew, the author of this book, he wasn't even a disciple in chapter 8. He didn't become a disciple till chapter 9. And that's when Jesus told him to follow me. That and Matthew, being a tax collector, would have been a quote-unquote landlubber. Someone most likely unused to traveling in a boat. I was over in the Charlottes for a little while, and I went out fishing on the deep ocean. And there were only like 2 meter swells. It wasn't anything too big. But still, out there fishing all day wrecked me. Okay. I was taking this ginger candy, and I was like, whoa. And for the next 2 days, my balance was done. So you have Matthew, through this entire time, terrified for his life, and probably puking his guts up too. And on top of that, here comes Jesus walking on the water. It's crazy. I'm not going to dwell too much on how Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water. That's its own entire sermon for stepping out in faith and keeping our eyes on Jesus. The point of this message is how Jesus is with us in the storms when we follow him, and that when we're on board with what he has with our lives. And it doesn't matter how big the storm in your life, he's got you. I'm going to tell you another story about a storm. And you probably know this story. Jonah chapter 1. The Lord gave this message to Jonah, son of Amittai. Get up and go to the city of great city of Nineveh. Announce my judgment against it because I've seen how wicked its people are. But Jonah got up and went in the opposite direction to get away from the Lord. He went down to the port of Joppa, where he found a ship leaving for Tarshish. He bought a ticket and went aboard, hoping to escape the Lord by sailing to Tarshish. Okay. If you have never heard this story before, you probably knows what happens next. This is the part where the soundtrack goes, dun-dun-dun. For those of you who do know the rest of the story, I'm just going to summarize it really quick. A storm arises, and all the sailors are freaking out. They're like, why is this storm happening? Somebody must have annoyed somebody up in heaven somewhere. And then they started to ask Jonah, what's up? Oh, I'm running away from God. You're what? Okay. So Jonah's like, okay, to save everybody, throw me over the boat, over the side, and the storm will stop. And it did. He got eaten by a fish, big fish. And he spent 3 days in this fish. And in the end, he went where God wanted him to go anyways, but not in the manner that Jonah probably would have preferred. And if you think about it, spending 3 days in the belly of a fish, getting puked up on the beach, you're not going to be in good shape. You're going to be like the worst case of fish breath ever. And these are two different kinds of stories. See, everybody's coughing. Thank you for your support. One of these stories, or one of these types of stories, is going where God wants you to go. Jesus sent his disciples across the lake. And one of these stories is about not going where God wants you to go, not doing what he wants you to do. Now, when Jesus sent his disciples across the lake, do you think that Jesus knew that there was a storm coming? Yeah. Jesus isn't surprised when storms happen. He isn't confused or unsure of what to do. So why are we surprised and confused and unsure? There's this old Christian one-liner. I've heard it a lot of times. But it isn't until you're in one of those storm moments that you really begin to appreciate it. And you've probably heard this one before. If God brings you to it, he'll bring you through it. You guys ever heard that one before? Yeah? You guys look how I feel. That's what it is. There's all kinds of storms in the Bible. And I'm just going to read you this storm. This story here, really quick. It's in Acts 27. I don't have the words up there. This is a story of how Paul on his way to Rome as a prisoner, their ship gets caught in a storm, Acts 27:13. When a light wind began blowing from the south, the sailors thought they could make it. So they pulled up anchor and sailed close to the shore of Crete. But the weather changed abruptly, and a wind of typhoon strength, called a northeaster, burst across the island and blew us out to sea. The sailors couldn't turn the ship into the wind, so they gave up and let it run before the gale. We sailed along the sheltered side of a small island named Coda, where with great difficulty we hoisted aboard the lifeboat being towed behind us. Then the sailors bound ropes around the hull of the ship to strengthen it. They were afraid of being driven across the sandbars of Syrtis off the African coast, so they lowered the sea anchor to slow the ship and were driven before the wind. The next day, as gale force winds continued to batter the ship, the crew began throwing the cargo overboard. The following day, they even took some of the ship's gear and threw it overboard. This terrible storm raged for many days, blotting out the sun and the stars, until at last all hope was gone. No one had eaten for a long time. Finally, Paul called the crew together and said, "Men, you should have listened to me in the first place and not left Crete. You would have avoided all this damage and loss. But take courage. None of you will lose your lives, even though the ship will go down. For last night, an angel of the God to whom I belong and whom I serve stood before me. And he said, 'Don't be afraid, Paul, for you will surely stand trial before Caesar. What's more, God in his goodness had granted safety to everyone sailing with you. So take courage, for I believe God. It will be just as he said, but we will be shipwrecked on an island.'" Paul, educated, absolutely 100% educated in everything to do with the Torah, Jewish history, and everything. He would have known the story of Jonah. He could have said it backwards in his sleep. And I'm sure stories about storms went through his head a bunch of times. Paul would have even heard the stories from the disciples about how they were in the storms, because Paul hung out with the disciples. They would have told people, would be like, "Tell us the story about the storm again. Tell us the story about Jesus walking on the water again." Okay, so they tell the story. Paul would have heard it directly from their mouths. And Paul knew that he was going where God called him, to Rome. He was where he needed to be, doing what he needed to do. And Jesus was going to take care of him. There's a very comforting verse right here. John 16:33. "I've told you all this so that you may have peace in me. Here on earth you will have many trials and sorrows. But take heart, because I have overcome the world." Jesus knows that you are going to go through crazy difficult things. You might be going through something so difficult right now, and no one else knows about it. Jesus knows. And we don't always remember this scripture when the storms hit. We don't always remember these stories of how Jesus keeps us safe in the storms. We might get shipwrecked, might not be able to pull up all the fish, might be battling the storm for hours and hours, or days and weeks. But as long as Jesus is with us, we do not have to fear. Because in those dark moments, it's so easy to get overwhelmed with that doubt and fear. Jesus asked his disciples, "Why did you doubt me? Where is your faith?" Jesus was human. And we know that he felt. I think he felt fear. when it came to the cross. To be able to have to go through that. Jesus knew, and he still knows what it's like going through a storm. You think your storms are bad. Getting crucified is probably pretty worse. I'm just saying. Storms are inevitable. It's part of being human. I just wanted to share with you a few scriptures. And as I was working on this sermon, these scriptures really, really spoke to me. And I don't know if you're going through a storm in your life. I don't know what it is. But these may help. Psalm 46. God is our refuge and our strength, always ready to help in times of trouble. So we will not fear when earthquakes come and when the mountains crumble into the sea. Let the oceans roar and foam. Let the mountains tremble as the waters surge. Because God is our refuge, our safe place. Psalm 62. I wait quietly before the Lord, for my victory comes from Him. He alone is my rock and my salvation, my fortress where I will never be shaken. You see a lot of these in the Psalms, especially from David, because he went through so much. Just read the story of David about the loss he did, about the mistakes he made. But he was still called a man after God's heart. Always wanting to get back. Isaiah 41. Don't be afraid, for I am with you. Don't be discouraged, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will hold you up with my victorious right hand. I read these verses, and I know that these are expressions from people going through storms, knowing what it's like, going, why God? Why is this happening? The disciples, they probably asked that a bunch of times. Why did Jesus send us into this storm? We're all going to have storms. But the point of it is whether we have Jesus in the boat with us or not. If Jesus is in the boat, whom shall I fear? What shall I fear? What can stand against us? I'm going to invite Pete and the team to come back up. Let's pray. God, we don't know why we go through things. Why the storms happen to us. But God, I know that you're with us. When we're following after you and what you want in our lives, you won't let us fail. We may need to learn things, but you've got us, and we're safe when you're with us. God, God, I pray that we would all, that we would all have you in our boat with us. Because all too often we say, no, I got this. When in actual truth, it's you who has this. And we thank you, God. And we praise you. Amen.